And they're off. You're very welcome along to our Cheltenham show this Tuesday. We're here with you every day this week for Cheltenham at 11:30, bringing you all the best tips, the whispers from the course, and all of the best up-to-date information that you can possibly get. You can stream this live at 11:30 on YouTube. The best place to do it is actually on offtheball.com. You just hit the live button. If you're at work and you need to surreptitiously have the earphone in and lean on the desk and pretend that you're doing stuff, well, actually, secretly, you're funneling your way into the brain of John Duggan and Johnny Ward, then you're very welcome along too. Best thing to do there is just hit the listen live button and you can treat this as just a radio show. And don't worry, we'll describe everything that you're missing out if we have any footage for you. But in the meantime, let's go to Cheltenham and say top of the morning to you and see how Johnny Ward is getting on. Johnny, how the hell are you?
I'm very well, Jerry. Yeah, you're creating some interesting pictures there of people who should clearly be working, basically looking for Cheltenham tips and watching the races on their phone, perhaps while having skived off to go to the toilet for a little toilet break.
Yeah, and that's exactly how these... well, there we go. That's great. Yeah. Ah, look, you've even dressed up for Cheltenham too.
I have, and I've just... dropped my phone there. I should be back now here, I think now. I have dressed up for Cheltenham, although you really want to have your wet wear on today. It's been really wet for the last sort of couple of hours there, and a bit of a worry about these windy conditions that are forecast, because not that long ago, I was actually at the festival, and I should know the year, and it was about 10 years ago, they had to abandon one of the days of the festival, and with all the temporary structures that they have sort of over past the parade ring, it's not a million to one that they might have to look at tomorrow in terms of the wind. But as of today, it's very grey out there, quite bleak. But this rain was forecast and it's going to suit a lot of the Irish horses, I think.
OK, a reminder for everybody that our daily show here, the Cheltenham show, is brought to you in association with Kildare Village, home to leading menswear brands with savings of up to 60% off the recommended retail price all year round, including sports brands such as New Balance, Under Armour and Puma. What are you hearing at the course today that the weather is making a difference to in terms of price movements? Some of these horses who people weren't very confident about last week, suddenly they arrive, they travel well, the word comes out from the yard that the horse is well, and suddenly we start seeing some gambles. Is that happening today?
Yeah, there have been horses who've been cut in the betting because of the rain, and obviously horses who've gone out in the betting, the likes of Sharjah and the Champion Hurdle, would probably have much less of a chance. Quimino, a horse I quite like in the handicap chase later on, he wouldn't appreciate this rain, but I wouldn't get too worked up about it at the moment. You know, it's kind of superficial in terms of its effect on the ground, because the ground has generally had very little rain over the winter, so it's not going to get bottomless or anything like that. My only worry at the moment is just that we'll be able to race tomorrow instead of the race meeting from tomorrow moving to Saturday, which I think will be a bit of a mess, really. But if you do like a horse like Binny Dedieu, for example, who is going to be a hot favourite in the Mayor's Hurdle, she's going to absolutely love this ground, and the rain has kind of come at the right time for her. She's actually not run at all yet this season because the ground has been too quick in Ireland, and now she gets her chance here for Willie Mullins. And I spoke to Patrick Mullins earlier on. He's quite sweet on the chance of Ballyward, who he rides in the last race. But he also, I guess he's just hopeful that they have a good week with all the horses.
Yeah, so that level of confidence that people have on a day like today, I mean, we've seen the Mullins stable, for example, have disastrous first and second days and then suddenly romp home days three and four. So even if a stable yard is confident or not confident or whatever's happening, the Cheltenham Festival, things can turn around pretty quick.
Oh, absolutely, Gerard. It's a marathon, not a sprint, you know. And the fact that Willie had, when Willie's come here with massive expectations, particularly 2 years ago when York Hill was running in the JLT. He was his first winner of the week, and they'd had a disaster of a week and really, really kicked on from the third day onwards. And, you know, I think it's not necessarily a bad thing for Willie and Gordon that there isn't huge expectation on them this year. You know, the betting for the trainer's title at Cheltenham is quite open. The betting even for the Prestbury Cup is quite open. That's the Irish versus British battle. And there are 28 races. Things can change very quickly. I remember last year, Paul Nicholls, who looked like he was fading into irrelevance at Cheltenham, he nabbed two late winners. And, you know, it's especially if you are punting as well, bear that in mind. If today goes awry for you, there are three other days, and, you know, don't get too worked up if things are going bad on the punting front, because there are 21 races after the seven today.
Yeah, OK. Let's bring in John Duggan. John, as ever, your tips on offtheball.com are a super sore way success. They've been widely shared and disseminated amongst the public. As a matter of interest...
God help me.
I was going to say, do you feel any pressure? And there you go. There's my answer.
Whatever reason, I'm quite zen this year, but that's because I just turned 40 a few months ago, so I don't know at this stage. No, I do feel the pressure. I'll be a little bit worried if I don't have a good day today. You want to get ahead during the week, so of course, if you've got a following over the years, you are keen to tip some winners. So look, I'm quite a conservative punter at Cheltenham. I generally have a lot of each ways, a couple of maybe win bets and then some each ways, but I'm trying to get a profit at the end of the week. I'm given $2,000 for charity, so it's a lot of money, so I'm just trying to get over $2,000. If I'm over $2,000, last year I had 2020 at the end of the thing, 1% profit, so I took that. But obviously I'd prefer the year I had before, which was 5,200, so we'll see how we go.
Yeah, well, let's hope we have a 5,200 year. Johnny Ward, what are you talking about today when people are stopping you and asking you, what have you got? What are you thinking about today?
Ballyward in the last, just talked to Vincent Hogan there, the great journalist who's wondering how this week is going to go as well. We've had Alistair Down come up just over the course of this conversation. So all the great journalists are certainly here anyway. A couple of us are even skiving off to go to the Reading Leeds game where I can report on Patrick Bamford. First time I'm going to see him, see if he's going to be the answer to all our problems. But my problem today is if Ballyward doesn't win the last race, because he is my absolute banker of the day. He basically ticks every box for Patrick Mullins and Willie in that last race. I can't see any holding him. Patrick wasn't absolutely bullish about his chance when I spoke to him earlier, but I think he's just trying to manage expectations, and he's a great, great chance, I think, in the last race. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss it. I'll be on the way to Reading.
Okay, so that's the 5:30 today, and that's a short enough price.
That's on chase.
That's around about 11-4.
Yeah, I think you might get 3-1. I know he has a bit to find with OK Corral on hurdles form, but he's a real slow, old-fashioned chaser. Jumps great. I don't worry about his lack of experience at all, to be honest. Paul Nolan has an interesting runner in the race, who's Discorama, who fell behind Ballyward at Nace. I don't think he was going to get close to him, to be honest, but he's not out of it either. It's a very, very good renewal.
See, now you see, this, my problem with this, right? So we had John Duggan on earlier on, and he can make this point again, but today everybody's opinions are right. But here's the difficulty. You can make a case for almost every horse, because if a horse makes it this far to Cheltenham, they must be pretty decent. And I saw one of your tweets last night about, I don't know if it was the mayor's race, that you'd managed to rule out 12 runners, 12 horses, and there were 12 runners in the race.
Yeah, that was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, obviously, but it's a particularly bad renewal of the Arkell. The two horses who would have dominated the betting, neither of them actually runs, Larishberg and Silius Emery, neither of them is here today. So you're left with a very second-rate renewal. Gordon Elliott was at a preview night about 3 weeks ago, where he tipped up Hardline sort of each way, but Hardline was about 20-25-1 as far as I know. He's now 4-1 with one bookmaker for this race, which I find absolutely astonishing. You know, he's a horse who's pretty much a grade 2 horse, even though he's a grade 1 winner. He's nowhere near good enough, you'd imagine, to win an Arkell, but the Arkell is very, very open. 12 runners, it's not going to be a particularly vintage renewal. I would argue as well that the Supreme Novice Hurdle, the first race, is a little bit underwhelming. The Irish horses look a bit of a much of a muchness. It probably gets a little bit easier as the day goes on and we have the Champion Hurdle, the proper race of day one.
Yeah, a lot of noise in the background there. John, let's talk about some of these races. We may as well go through the card at this point. The 1:30 at Cheltenham, as Johnny was saying there, the Skybet Supreme Novices Hurdle. At the moment, Al Dancer is the favourite. Classical Dream is second. Angel's Breath is third at about 6-1. Fakir Duderi, 6-1. Vision Denair is next after that at 12-1. They're the odds for the 1:30 today. We talked a little bit earlier. You like Vision Denair. What is the case for Vision Denair?
The case is that he's very well regarded by Gordon Elliott, and I think you have to take notice of that. And Jack Kennedy could have ridden Felix DeGie, who ran well in the bumper for a long way last year. He isn't. I think they hope that Vision Denair will be better on softer ground, which he'll encounter today. Did win in France. Think he's going to be a horse of the future. Might be today, but I think this is a very open race. And if you're looking at an open race, this is the thing with the bookmakers. I mean, the bookmakers have had it quite tight regarding their odds, and now we're only seeing a bit of value coming into it. On the morning of the festival, Angel's Breath has drifted out to 5-1. Classical Dream now drifting out to 5-1. Money for Al Dancer into 7-2 in places. Favourite for Sam Tristan Davis and his father Nigel. Couple of things been nibbled in the market, the big bite Felix DeGie as well, but I like Vision Denair's honour for those reasons. Gordon Elliott's confidence, the fact that his price I think is reasonably decent, and it's an open race, so I thought that the Irish is, I know he's an Irish horse, but I think he's probably the one with the most potential. Classical Dream and Ironman, to me, they're much of a muchness. Angel's Breath I think is a horse I really respect. Fakir Duderi's 4-year-olds tend not to win. This hasn't happened in 20 years. And Mr. Fisher might want flat tracks, Grand Sans Seed. Don't know if he's good enough. So it's not the greatest race. And I think Angel's Breath is probably the best horse for the future, but Vision Donair at the price is what I liked.
Tony, I've got one of those jinx relationships with Felix Desi. Every time I'm backing Felix Desi, nothing happens. And every time I don't back it, Felix Desi wins. Why is Felix Desi not given more of a chance today?
I feel your pain. He didn't perform at Cheltenham last year in the bumper. I think he's a better chance of performing today, albeit he's running in a better race. The softening of the ground is going to help him just kind of settle a bit in front. He's definitely not a horse to rule out. I know, as John says there, Vision Donair has attracted Jack Kennedy, but Felix Desi, if he can get into a rhythm, he's very, very pacey. He's a very classy horse. Huge confidence behind him last year, probably when you backed him in the champion bumper. But he's a horse that I wouldn't rule out. He's probably coming in a little bit under the radar at his price. And 18 runners in that race, at least 10 of them have a realistic chance.
Yeah, so what do you like in the first?
I like Angel's Breath. Not with a huge degree of confidence, but I know Nicky Henderson, a bit like John saying, you know, about Gordonelli's regard for Vision Donair. Nicky Henderson's a very big fan of this horse. He was beaten in his prep for the race behind Southfield Stone, but he travelled well. I think the grain is going to help his chance because he stays well, this horse. Another thing that will help his chance is the fact there's a big field. He'll get a good toe into the race. He'll basically be able to sit off a good gallop. And, you know, some bookmakers are offering 7 places on this race. Insane stuff, really. And if you can get on that, he should definitely be in the first 4 or 5. I think he's a good each-way chance.
OK, so that's Angel's Breath for you. Grand Sansi was tipped up at the weekend on our Road to Gold show that we broadcast last night, and Nathan has been bragging about getting that inside information, and then apparently it's also in the papers today. So Grand Sansi at around about 14-1, also given an each way chance in that one. At 2:10, it is the Arkle. Johnny, you just don't like this race at all, is that right?
No, I think it's a real pants renewal of the race. If it were run in Ireland on a Sunday, there wouldn't be much about it. It might struggle to get into the headlines the following day. It's just one of those years where either horses are injured or they just haven't reached maybe the heights expected of them. Essentially, Sam Crowe should have probably run in this race. He should have been trained as an Arkle horse. He wasn't. Then he had a setback and he doesn't run at Cheltenham. Larichberg took up the mantle, but he's injured. Silius Emery looked the horse to beat. In my mind, he's injured. The rest of them are just really much of a muchness. Something has to win it. I don't know what it is.
No feelings, nothing. Just to sit and watch that one and go off and experience the rest of the afternoon.
I guess Rachel Blackmore is riding Arnua, definitely a horse with a chance, will be up there in the van. Again, in an average Arkle, really wouldn't be good enough, but this is a below average Arkle. Rachel's first big ride of the meet, and she's been confirmed to ride Mona Lee in the Ryanair on Thursday, which is a big feather in her cap, certainly, but Arnua would have a bit of a squeak. I'd probably side with Kalishnikov, even though he comes into the race under a bit of a cloud after his last one. He ran a blinder here last year on similar ground, so he's a tentative pick. If you wanted to have a bet, Kalishnikov in that.
Okay, round about 8-1 at the moment. John, what do you like in this?
Well, there's money for Kalishnikov because of the rain softened ground, and he was second in that Supreme Novices hurdle last year. Paloma Blue was fourth in that race. The one I like, though, is Duke de Genevra. William Mullins, Paul Townend, was second behind Sam Crowe at Leopardstown last year. Didn't run that well for the remainder of the season, but won well last time out at Goran Park. I think if they change the tactics with this horse, if they go out in front and try and use his class, I think he could be there or thereabouts. I think a 13-2 in, as what Johnny will correctly say, is a below average renewal of the Arkle Chase. I think Duke de Genevra was a good hurdler, possibly one of the best hurdlers of these, and I think he's got an each way chance.
Okay, so let's move on to the 250, the Ultimate Handicap Chase. This is a 3 mile, 1 furlong race, and we've got 24 runners in this one, Johnny. What are you liking?
I like Up for Review here. I think he's a very, very good chance. Patrick Mullen said, I've no doubt he's well handicapped this morning. He's racing off the exact same mark as he raced off in the Tiestes when he was third at Gore, and that was his first run in a good while, so huge positives. Paul Townend riding him, to me, is one of the talking points of day one. Ruby Walsh does not have a ride in a handicap chase at Cheltenham, and according to Patrick this morning, it wasn't Ruby's choice. Willie Mullins is trying to protect him for, obviously, the Grade 1 races. It's a questionable enough tactic, I suppose, but you can also see why he's doing it. Ruby was broken up badly at this meeting last year, having returned from a big injury, so you can see why he's doing that. But I think Up for Review, if he can settle, he has run a bit keen here in the past, but on that Tiestes form, he's a very good each way chance, and the ground will come just nicely for him as well.
Okay, so that's 8-1, which is top of the betting at the moment, given the size of the field. John, these big handicaps, these are the races where the bookmakers make their money, because there are so many different horses. People like to back outsiders. The outsiders never come home. And then when they do come home, the bookmakers also delighted because a lot of people have bet on the shorter price horses. So is this a stick a pin in it for you, or do you have some information for us?
It's not stick a pin in it. You're trying to narrow it down, as I said yesterday, to a few, and you're making a selection. So Manella Rocco, as I said, if Manella Rocco showed the form that he did 2 years ago when he was second behind Sizing Down the Gold Cup, he wins this. But he hasn't shown that form. So you're taking it on trust that Manella Rocco will turn up and do it. And his aim is the Grand National. I think he'd probably want better ground. The horse I went for, you can get a 40-1 at the moment, is a horse called Royal Vacation, trained by Colin Tizard, is a course winner at Cheltenham. It is a bit of a Hail Mary, but he has won to 2 mile, 5 furlong race here on soft ground over fences. He did win a Grade 1 novice chase at Kempton in 2016 when he was second going to the last behind Might Bite. Might Bite tipped up and fell, and he picked up the pieces and won the race. Colin Tizard said he did an each way chance in the Racing Post today. I picked him out last night, Royal Vacation, as a horse that might have a bit of class on a going day. If he's on song, if he's on his best form, he's a 40-1 shot. He might be worth an each way bet. Because of the rain, there's money come for a lot of horses. Beware the Bear, I don't think he jumps well enough. Noble Endeavour was third in the race a few years ago. Vintage Clouds will have a chance with this rain for Sue Smith. Chantou Village and Flying Angel, money for them. But Mr. Whittaker's got a chance. I think the one that Johnny put up has got a chance. And Manella Rocco's got a chance. That's why I'm going for the 40-1 outsider, Royal Vacation. He either be out with the washing at halfway or he'll win.
Yeah, well, we can either get a run or not, I suppose. Johnny, what do you make of something like Manella Rocco in a race like this, where you know there is some form, albeit not quite ancient history, but long enough ago, over course and not far off distance?
Yeah, I was reading the Liverpool match programme from the game on Sunday, and Sammy Hepia was interviewed because he's playing a Legends game, and he said, maybe I'm not quite as fit as I was, but I still think I can play quite well at this level. You know, Sammy Hepia was a great defender. You'd imagine if he rocked up beside Van Dijk now, he might struggle a bit. Manella Rocco hasn't won a race for 3 years, so you're kind of saying, does he have that ability? He's aging, even though he's not that old, but he hasn't won for 3 years. He's had a lot of hit and miss kind of races. He was second in the Gold Cup as well. He's absolutely thrown in. He's one of these horses that if he were very strong in the market, you can kind of follow the money, because that would be a signal that he kind of is returning to some sort of form. But major ifs. I guess if you're a speculative gambler, he is the one in the race that could be very well handicapped, but too many doubts for me.
Can I ask you about watching the money and seeing a bet? Like, how big does the price movement have to be before you think, okay, the connections have bet on that, or somebody who knows that horse is in outstanding form is betting on that? Like, is it a point, is it 2 points, is it 10 points? What kind of movement makes you go, ah?
Yeah, like, you know, 10-1 into 9-1, 8-1 isn't particularly significant. And the markets are so complex, and there are so many aspects to them. You're always speculating as to what's going on. Is it a professional gambler? Is it a, you know, word from the yard with the JP McManus camp? Is it basically that maybe a horse has been laid out for Cheltenham? A lot of this is guesswork. There'll be whispers around the track that certain big players have backed this or that. You remember even last year, Mellon in the Champion Hurdle, a massive gamble on him that really was pretty inexplicable on what he'd been shown, yet he should have probably won the Champion Hurdle. And sometimes these things are impossible to predict, and they're impossible to explain because markets are so erratic, I suppose, really. But generally, the markets are accurate. And if the likes of Manella Rocco came in for money, you can basically take it as a certainty that it is the McManus camp backing him, because nobody else knows anything about him.
Okay. So let's move on to the 3:30 at Cheltenham, the Unibet Champion Hurdle Challenge Trophy. This is a massive race today. Apples Jade at 15-8, Bouverdere around 9-4, Larina around 3-1, Mellon then at 16, Sport Allen 16, Sharjah at 20, Brainpower at 28, Verdana Blue at 33-1, Global Citizen at 50-1, and Silver Streak at 66-1. So, John, the betting here suggests those top three horses, Apples Jade, Bouverdere and Larina, are the ones. And yet, I don't know. Is that how it works?
Yeah, it is how... Well, it, no, at the moment, the way it's working, Jerry, is... And I was outside about 10 minutes ago. It's like a duvet day. It's a Netflix day. It's not a day you want to be going out in. It's awful out there. Driving rain. Really, really windy. Most people are trying to run for cover. All the money's come for Larina. All the money. 3-1 now, Larina. when I'm looking at odds checker here, completely blue, Larina. Blue means that she's been backed. The other ones are drifting. So Apple's Jade out to 9-4 in places now. Bouverdere out to 11-4 for a dual champion hurdle winner. The rest, a little bit of nibble on Esper Dwellin. You could get between 14 and 20. A Brain Power nibble into 28s. But yeah, it's all about Larina. The money has come for Larina in the champion hurdle. To me, that's because of the rain. Because they think the horse wants further and think the rain will suit her. But to me, I'm still on the Apple Jade's camp. And I actually remember that Aintree race, can never forget it, from 3 years ago when Apple Jade was trained by Willie Mullins and it won by 41 lengths in this kind of conditions at Aintree, Apple's Jade. So I'm sticking with Apple's Jade over 2 miles based on the form that she's shown this season. And I'm not buying this thing that she can't perform at Cheltenham. She won the Mare's Hurdle here and she was second in the Hot Triumph Hurdle.
Yeah. Johnny, how has your thinking changed about this race in the last 24 hours?
Not a great deal, really. I think the ground conditions aren't going to inconvenience the major players, including Bouverdere. It will help Lorena. She's a mare, she's a big, powerful mare who stays very well, probably actually really wants 2.5 miles, and it will suit her. It should suit Apple's Jade, even though her performances this season on better ground have been extraordinary. I'm still not convinced about Cheltenham for her. I don't see how in a championship race you can forfeit ground, edging off to your right at hurdles, and possibly taking on up front, and not at least be inconvenienced by it. Bouverdere, for me, has been a bit hit and miss over the last 12 months. I think we're looking at a situation here where Lorena could go off second favourite. Now, this is what the point you're making, Ger, about the market. What happens in the market sort of 10 minutes before the off, that will really be interesting, because the Lorena is a speculative kind of bet because we don't know how good she is. So will the big players play her at the end, or will she drift markedly, which could well happen as well, and Bouverdere could yet go off favourite. I quite like Esper Dallin. He's running for JP McManus. He's effectively unbeaten bar run where he didn't perform. I've massive respect for his trainer, Gavin Cromwell. He's obviously getting into the race as a five-year-old. It's a little bit of a worry, but he comes here as an improving horse, and around about 20-1, I'd be very, very wary of underestimating him, and he'll enjoy conditions as well.
So an each-way bet on Esper Dallin, small each-way bet?
Esper Dallin, yeah. Gavin Cromwell has a couple of horses running in Southall today. He had a couple of horses running in England yesterday as well, and he does like to raid. He's definitely a horseman to keep an eye on in his selections that are running in other meetings during Cheltenham, but this is his only Cheltenham runner, and I think he's coming over here not for to show up. He's coming over here to perform and run a big race.
Yeah, there's one running at 20 past 2 today in Southall that's worth a look as well. At 10 past 4 at Cheltenham, it's the Mare's Hurdle again. A lot of speculation about what was going to happen in this one over the last while. It looks now like Benny Zadieu is going to go off the strong favourite. 11 to 10 was the latest price we had before we came on air. Roxana at around about 13 to 2. Limity at around 9-1, Stormy Ireland 10-1, and then 12-1 bar. So, John Duggan, what's going on here?
Only money for one horse, Momella, that's trained by Harry Fry, who had a champion hurdle winner here a few years ago with Rock and Ruby. Noel Feely rides it. Noel Feely's got a lot of good experience around championship races at Cheltenham. So 12-14-1 was third in a grade one hurdle at Aintree last season, but yeah, that's the only one really been backed. Nothing else has been backed against Benny DeJeu. Benny DeJeu, odds against, odds on with Ladbrokes, for example, odds against with Betway and with Bet365. So generally hasn't been drifting or coming in. Has been generally solid around the even money 11 to 10 mark. Benny DeJeu, who, if you believe the Walsh and Mullins, predictions, that this is their best chance of the week. And you'd have to think that on the basis of winning last year, the price looks a bit skinny on last year's race, but then the horse did follow up and win at Punchestown. They think that she'll go very well fresh. And on racing, she's the one to beat. Would I be putting my life in it, my mortgage? No, I wouldn't. But I think she's the most likely winner.
Yeah, Johnny Ward, we've been talking about all these races, and for all the talk about the slow form compared with how sensational their form has been in previous years coming into this, we've been tipping a lot of Mullins horses on the first day to be successful.
Yeah, well, rightly or wrongly, this is probably their banker of day one. And, you know, Patrick this morning couldn't be less, I suppose, couldn't be more bullish really about her chance. He did say that and this is actually a fair point which people didn't make, when she ran in this race last year, she was coming off a chase campaign, and it's not easy to go straight into a grade one hurdle race having been chasing, and to show the requisite technique not to lose ground at your hurdles, because there really aren't margins for error at this level. She still won. Now, she won because Apple Jade flopped, but she still won, and she doesn't have any more to do this year. She'll have her ground. She's in great form, and I don't think she's a world beater by any means, but I think she's better than these.
Yeah, okay. There was one other that we wanted to talk about. Yeah, so Apple Jade and Vision Denair, we've talked about those. Okay, so do we need to do one last race? We have two more races to do. 450 at Cheltenham, the Close Brothers Novice Handicap Chase. Again, another big field of 20 runners in this one. What do you like here, John?
I like the favourites of Plutar. I think that has got a big chance for Rachel Blackmore to give her first winner of the festival. But once again, you're talking about, like, you know, a huge field, 22 runners, 5 or 6 to 1. Like, it's that's not a price I'd be looking for. So the one I went for earlier on today was Shady Operator, which I am not, folks. I'm not a Shady Operator. But this is attracting money at 14 to 1. Beat Ballywords, who we were talking about earlier in the season, and has form behind Charges. So this might be a little bit ahead of the handicapper Shady Operator for Mark Walsh and Joseph O'Brien. And that's the one I've gone for, about 14 to 1 each way. Money for that, money for Springtown Lake, money for Goodman Pat. Drifting is Tower Bridge, drifting riders on the storm. But once again, it's an each-way day. It's not like the fellow who came up to me about half an hour ago and he said, what do you think about Benny? And he goes, we're going to bet like men on Benny DeJure.
Benny DeJure. Okay. Yeah. I've heard that saying before from people who generally then go and back a horse that falls. So, you know, I'd rather bet like a successful woman. 450, what do you like there, Johnny?
I'm tentative on Camino. He wouldn't want the ground to get any softer, really. His best form's on good ground. Brian Cooper takes the ride. Instead of Riders in the Storm, he's actually obliged to ride Camino. He's only 11 stone 2 in a very tight handicap, but this is the smallest stakes race of the day, in my view.
Is that Cuba Mania? Is that it?
Camino, sorry. Cuba Mania, who's number 3, he's part-owned by St. Patrick's Athletics. Left back and captain Ian Birmingham, so it's going to be a big day for Ian Birmingham. Burmos, he's known to the Pats fans here today, but Camino will be my selection, number 19.
Okay, all right. And what odds is that? Sorry, I just can't see it on the...
We're talking about 25 to 1,
yeah. There was also some word in the office for Cuba Mania this morning, small each way. And then the last race of the day...
I like Ballywood here. He's my nap at 5:30. I think he ticks every box, really. Patrick Mullen's taking the ride. I think he's a great, great chance.
All right. John, what are you like in the last?
Yeah, I respect Ballywood enormously, but the one I've gone for at a price, once again, the price is Atlanta Ablaze. Henry Dating also to train chasers. Really good jumper, which you need over 4 miles. Taking a chance at 18 to 1 at Atlanta Ablaze. I'm gonna make my way to Atlanta and set it ablaze if it wins.
Very good. One last thing about today. Obviously, like, will you change your mind at the last minute on any of these, Johnny? Is that you? You're done. That's it. Your decisions are made.
You usually shouldn't change your mind. Like, there will be a lot of journalists here with obviously connections to various trainers. There's going to be a little bit of word for horses here and there, but I think my betting is pretty much done for today, to be honest. It's a long, long week.
Is there any point in getting involved in the winning trainer, leading jockey? Are they just crapshoots and that's kind of pointless?
No, it's not, and it's a good interest bet as well, because every race then, more or less, you have an interest. If you back Willie Mullins or Gordon Elliott or obviously Nicky Henderson, I'd probably edge against Patriotism and back Great Britain to win the Prestbury Cup. And if I were to have a bet on champion trainer, I'd probably go with Nicky Henderson. But no, it's not a bad bet at all.
Yeah. All right, John, what about you? Is there anything else beyond the actual racing that you like to take a financial interest in?
I think the Irish-English thing, I think the English might win it this year. I think there were odds against. I'd probably have them both at even money. And I think if England are odds against, I'd do that. But with all things in life, you're trying to anticipate something before it happens. So Willie Mullins, the first year he won it, I had him at 7 to 1, but that's gone now. So I'm not getting involved in everything else. But once I give the tips at 8:45, they're done. And and if I have a bad day today, I'll just take it on the chin and look forward to tomorrow.
Johnny, great stuff. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks very much. We are
Cheers.
Here every day at 11:30 for half an hour. Everything you need. And we're here in association with Kildare Village, home to leading menswear brands with savings of up to 60% off the recommended retail price all year round, including sports brands such as New Balance, Under Armour, Puma, and of course they've got loads of other good stuff as well, like Jaeger and Brooks Brothers, who have managed to dress us for the show today, accidentally. We'll be back tomorrow at 11:30. Stay tuned to all our social channels. Check out offtheball.com for a list of all of John Duggan's tips. And I should remind you as well that Eoin Sheehan has been doing journalism for the first time in a long time, and he's gone through every single tipster that he can find, collated them to see what the weight of opinion behind individual horses is. So you can just go to offtheball.com, check out what Eoin Sheehan has done, and see where the money and the tipsters have coalesced around specific horses. And away you go. Punt happily and smallly, and we'll see you tomorrow. Good luck.